welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. And now, here is your host, an author in her own right, Joanne L. Trombley.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. We are exploring the faith way, scientific way, and how Project Science and Story is creating a new media way to open minds. www.scienceandstory.com, conceived and created by Arlene Summerton Smith, is a literary internet site that shares thoughts, experiences, and stories for people interested in what Arlene describes as something more. Reaching out with an open mind and an invitation to all, Science and Story is a vehicle for personal and public faith-based exploration and sharing. Hello, Arlene.
Hello.
Hello. Scienceandstory.com is a very interesting concept. You refer to as a project. What was your inspiration for creating it?
Well, it just seemed to me that things in the world were starting to get out of balance. And I think that when we have conversations about life in general, we have to involve as many sources as possible in order to have the richest, fullest experience of life. So I think we need to regain some balance. And by that, I mean we have to accept the physical and scientific as a reality. And that could be our bodies, gravity, weather realities. Physical and the science are the bones that keep us together and allow us to function. Otherwise, we just flop all over. And they're kind of like the rules and the structure, and they keep us grounded. But also, there's what I call the something more that can't be seen or measured yet, but is a reality. And some people use words like God or spirit or soul to describe that, but those words can be very contentious and an eye roller for so many people. But so I choose to use the word story because it's accessible to everyone, it's universally loved, and while I've heard many people discount the existence of God or soul or spirit, I've never heard anyone discount the reality of stories. And I think people seek stories. I think people even crave stories. And if this is a word that allows people to open themselves up to possibilities, then that's something that's going to be beneficial for the world in general.
What a wonderful way of looking at it. And you're right. Everyone we meet has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we do love our stories. And we glean so much from it. On the site, you refer to believe, but not in a traditional way. Can you elaborate on this for us?
Sure. One of the main areas of contention for many people is the assumption that anyone who belongs to a community of faith believes that the stories in the Bible or the Quran or any of the traditional faith traditions are factual stories. And they assume that if you want to be a Christian, for example, you need to believe those stories to be factual. And I don't even believe that to be true. And I also think that it deprives the traditions of their richness. If you take, for example, the story of the loaves and the fishes, if you take that to be a factual story, it shines the spotlight on Jesus as Jesus did something. And it takes the focus away from us and what we can do with that story. And if we look at it as a metaphor and say, okay, there were a group of people and eventually everyone was fed, how did that happen? And if you think of it as maybe Jesus inspired generosity, maybe there were people there who had food that was more than they needed and they shared. So maybe it becomes a story about feeding the people and about sharing and about generosity and redistribution of wealth. And it takes the focus away from Jesus and puts the focus back on us. What do we need to do with our lives because I know this story? So if you believe that you can learn something from our faith traditions, but you don't have to believe that they're factual in the traditional way, then it's richer for everyone.
There are so many layers and dimensions to us, and you're right. It's like a facet of a jewel. If you turn it this way, then the light shines off this facet or that one, but the jewel is still the jewel.
Okay, I'll run with that.
All right. You write a blog as part of the site. How many times a month do you add your entries? Tell us a little bit about your blog.
Well, I do posts twice a week, every Tuesday and every Friday. And I chose that schedule because in my research about blogs in general, it said, you know, you need to keep the material regular. There needs to be something fresh there all the time. But I really knew myself and the fact that I have to balance. Balance is key for me. Balance it with my family and my other work that I have to do, that I didn't want my blog to be an obligation or something that I regretted it. This is an act of love for me. And so twice a week was something I thought I could handle, but it would be fresh. And it also gives people a routine, so they know, oh, there'll be something new there Tuesday, there'll be something new there Friday. They know, people know what to expect.
And my sense is a consistent flow.
It's been kind of interesting how it all develops, because I don't really know what I'm going to be writing about. And for every once in a while, I find myself seized with panic. Oh my goodness, what will I write about? But I have learned to just let that go and trust that the topic will come and the words will come. And so far, it has happened. And there always seems to be the right thing at the right time.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, I believe so.
In your August 24th, 2010 entry, you write, "Last week, I wrote a post with the word God in the title. The stats page with my blog software showed that fewer people than usual took the time to read that post. Later in the week, I wrote about my dog. Readership went through the roof, or should I say, woof." What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's disappointing, actually. I love my dog, but I can understand the reasons for it, because as I mentioned in the rest of that post, dogs are wonderful, and people assume that there will be a feel-good story there. And sadly, when people see the word God these days, they don't assume that it's going to be a feel-good story. There are so many issues and questions and arguments and I believe this and you have to believe this, that people almost turn away from it. It was very instructive for me to learn how to title my blog posts.
Very much so. But I mean, it's the old thing, isn't dog God spelled backwards?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? The site invites people to contribute to sharing their good faith stories. What do you hope this section will provide for your web visitors?
That's something that I'm hoping to build on, and I'm out there researching and contacting people now. What I'd hope to achieve is that people will see me as a source of a way to distribute what they're doing to make the world a better place through their faith community. Because the media does an excellent job of providing us with all the bad faith stories, all the controversy and all the things that are going questionably in terms of faith. But there are so many stories of love and family and charity and sharing and openness and acceptance that don't get shared. So I'm hoping to build on that and reach out to as many faith communities I can of all types to have them give me what they're doing.
Ooh, it's all about sharing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You provide visitors with the opportunity to check out links you like and good reading. Could you share some of them with us today?
Sure. Off the top of my head, I would say that some of the links I like have to do with people who are making the world a better place. And two people I really admire in particular are Terry Fox, who I never met, but I think what he did was phenomenal. And some would say that he never did complete his quest in the physical way, but what an unbelievable story. And another one of my favorite people in the world is Ryan Hurljack from Kempville, who is, I believe he's not a teenager anymore, he's on the verge of 20, but as a six-year-old, he started collecting money for Ryan's Well Foundation. And it was just a simple child doing one small thing, and it has ballooned and rippled out, and now millions of dollars have helped communities in Africa because of one child. Again, what an incredible story he wrote for himself.
And for all of us. And, you know, metaphorically, as we dip in the well, we can share with so many.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. Arlene, you're a published writer. You've written articles. Could you share some of your literary endeavors with us?
Well, most of my writing, in the published sense of the term, has been on television because I started as a television and video script writer. So I do work for local production companies, and I write scripts for some television, but mostly for corporate videos, instructional videos, that kind of thing. I have written short stories that have won awards, and they can be found on the blog and the website. And I have an idea for a novel that I'm pulling together and working on, which is one of the things that I want to balance with my writing on the blog.
You're a very busy lady. So it's time to remind people of the website address and how they can contact you, subscribe to the blog, submit their wonderful stories, and so on.
Okay, the address is www.scienceandstory.com.
All right. So do you have a special message you'd like to extend to our listeners and visitors to your website?
Sure. I just hope that people can regain some balance and center themselves and be curious about what science has to offer and give us, and be curious about what the something more in our world can give us. Because if you exclude one or the other, you're depriving yourself of some real wealth. So why should we limit ourselves? So look for the good faith stories. Center yourself with science and with stories. We can't change the physical, but we can always write a fabulous story for ourselves.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much, Arlene, for sharing with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Science and Story embraces the discoveries of science, lessons of ancient stories, and the everyday happenings in our lives. Creator Arlene emphasizes she wants science and stories combined with her passion. She encourages people to explore their view of the world according to what they feel and not according to the expectations of others.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association, National Capital Region. Your host has been Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne is a personal coach, artist, photographer, broadcaster, and author of the Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 tools for personal and professional growth and development. The Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at your local bookstore, Chapters, or can be ordered online using Joanne's website at www.potentialsmanagement.com. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.